In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Okay, so who do you think should take the collection today? Who? Isabella, did you ever take the collection? Okay, so Isabella, they can't take the collection in the family. You know, that's the rule. That's a rule of the church. You have to have somebody from outside the family. Do you have any idea why? I'm sure they would never do that, but that's why we have the rule. Because if you have some, you know, two family members taking the collection, maybe they decide together to put something in their pocket. That's why. That's why. So who else? So Isabella and who else? No, Gabriel is part of the family. So maybe Isabella and who didn't take the collection for a while? Anna? Okay. Isabella and Anna. Today is the Sunday of the cross. This third Sunday of Great Lent, this Sunday that's in the middle of Lent, is dedicated to the Holy Cross, because after 3 weeks of Lent, we are, or we might be, a little bit tired of praying, of fasting, of being at our best, of doing good deeds. We might be a little bit tired. And the church reminds us of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ did what he had to do to save us, so that in our turn, we are called to do what we have to do, even if sometimes it's not easy, so that we will become like Christ. Now, a while ago, we talked about Noah. We started talking about Noah and how the population, the people of the world, the number of people, you know, upon the face of the earth grew, and many people became evil, not very loving, not very kind. And they started to destroy the earth, and not to care about God, not to care about the creation of God. And God chose Noah to save the world through him, because he would send the flood upon the world. I'm sure that you are familiar with the story of Noah, but I want to ask you something today. What would you think if you saw one of your neighbors gathering lots of wood just outside of Lexington at one of these beautiful ranches? If you saw somebody, you know, driving one day, you saw that man, you know, piled up a lot of wood. Maybe, you know, he gets ready for winter, you think. For, you know, firewood. But then, a week later, you see that this man starts to build something. And then, you know, sometimes later, you see that he's building a huge boat here in Kentucky. No ocean nearby, no big lake nearby, and he's building this huge boat. What would you think of that man? That he's crazy. What is he doing? Why is he building such a big boat on the top of that hill in the middle of Kentucky?
So he can put the two animals.
But this man in Kentucky, why would he build such a big boat? Yeah. That's what people thought of Noah when he started building the ark. Noah, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? I'm building a boat. God told me to build a boat. What? What's wrong with you?
Like, there was no water then, but then the flood came.
There was no water, but you know, when Noah was building the ark, there was no water, and nobody believed that the flood would come.
Yes, but
Noah knew. Noah knew because God told him. And Noah trusted God, and he listened to God, and he did what God asked him to do, even if it didn't make sense to anybody around him. Now, what I want to tell you today is that sometimes, many times, we are like Noah. Many times we are like Jesus, because you know, before today's gospel reading, do you know what Peter told Jesus? Because Jesus started to tell his disciples that he would have to be crucified and be resurrected on the third day. And Peter took him aside and said, no, this can't happen to you. You can't die on the cross. No, let's run away. This can't happen to you. And Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of man. Like the people in the time of Noah, the people were telling Noah, what are you doing? Not waste your time. This is not going to happen. You don't have to do this. The same way Peter told Jesus, no, this can't happen to you. Let's have some fun. You can't die on the cross. And this is what happens to us. I'm sure that sometimes maybe when you wanted to do your homework, somebody came to you and told you, let's do the homework later. Let's have some fun now. Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Maybe not a person, but a thought came. Maybe go play now and you can do your homework later. Why do you need that homework anyway? How is math going to help you anyway in the end? Or, why do you practice so hard at, I don't know, soccer or basketball or piano or whatever you do? Why do you practice so hard? Because who knows in the end if you are going to need this or not? And what do we have to do in that situation? The devil gives you that thought, as the devil gave that thought to Peter. And Jesus told him, behind me, Satan, because you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. I don't know how many years it took him to build the ark, but it took him some time because that was the huge ark, a huge boat. So what I want to tell you today is that sometimes we cannot see why we are doing something. Noah couldn't see the flood. There was no water, but he knew that the water would come. Jesus knew that by dying on the cross, he would give life to the world. And sometimes, we can't see the direct result of what we are doing, of the homework, of the practice that we have to do, of the things that we have to do. But we have to do them in faith, believing that by doing that, something good will happen later on. By doing that, we'll be like Noah, we'll work together with God for the salvation of the world and for our own salvation. Because by doing your homework, by practicing whatever you have to practice, by washing the dishes, by cleaning the house, by doing whatever good things you have to do, you are working together with God to little by little become better yourself and little by little save the world with God. Amen. Thank you very much. Christ is among us.
He is in our sharing.
The next level, beloved faithful, would be to do what we have to do. To pick up the cross and to follow the Lord with joy. Not only to do it, but to do it with joy. And this is a higher level of becoming like God. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, when he carried the cross, he carried the cross with joy. And St. Paul says in the second letter to Corinthians chapter 12 that when A tragedy was allowed in his life. When a thorn was given in his flesh, he prayed and he asked God to take it away from him. And the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. And when the Lord revealed this to Paul, he said, "Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore," he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Wow! This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make any human sense. To rejoice in tribulation. Therefore, he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And indeed, this doesn't make sense, and Paul himself says that it doesn't make sense. According to our human wisdom, it doesn't make sense. In the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 1, Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." So, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Because through the cross, everything was turned upside down. Through the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us that we could rejoice in tribulation. That any tragedy could be transformed into a victory if we put our trust in God and we work together with Him to transform the tragedy into a victory. And in the letter to the Romans, Paul tells us why it is possible and desirable, and not only possible and desirable, but this is the calling of our life, to rejoice in tribulation. In the letter to the Romans chapter 5, he says, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." When we are going through a hard time, when we are carrying a heavy cross, when we are struggling with a sickness, when we are struggling with a huge loss, God is doing surgery on us. He's transforming us into His likeness. He allows a crucifixion so that He would allow a resurrection in our life. Paul says, "We also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Now, who doesn't need perseverance in this life? We need perseverance every day because it's not easy even to get up and to go to work every day. You need perseverance even for that simple daily thing. We need perseverance, you know, even to cook a meal. It's not easy, you know, to go to the grocery store especially, you know, if you are not very strong, if you are, you know, a senior, you need a lot of perseverance and determination to go to the grocery store, to buy groceries, to come home and to cook a meal. We need perseverance to go, especially through harder times in life. And tribulation, Paul says, produces perseverance. When God allows a tribulation in our life, He transforms us, He strengthens us, He prepares us for life, for greater challenges in life. So tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. A strong character. And character produces hope. And hope produces joy. God is transforming us through tribulations, through hard times. He's transforming us more and more into His likeness. That's why, you know, we are called to become blessed. We are called to become raised above, and that's why in the Sermon on the Mountain, two of the blessings are: blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed. We are blessed. Makarios in Greek. Now, you know, sometimes the English translation is blessed, happy, sometimes. But in fact, makarios means raised above. I'm above the situation. This can't touch me. Because I'm one with God, and I know the truth is, God transforms me. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. They persecute the prophets, and life is going to persecute us. Now, thank God, here in the United States, in Kentucky, we don't have anybody yet coming and persecuting us for our faith. Nevertheless, the devil is attacking us, and persecution comes in any kind of way. Through sickness, through stress, through losses. Life is persecuting us, and we are persecuted. And those are the times when we are called to be raised above and to rejoice. One of the blessings, you know, of being a priest is, you know, to minister to people, especially when they are in hard times, and to help them go through hard times. And I remember when I was still a young priest in Romania, God gave me the chance to minister to a family who lost their son when he was 18. He was a big, tall, healthy boy. He got sick, and in less than a year, he was gone. Now the family was destroyed. The family was devastated. And it happened, you know, that I ran into them one day. I talked to them. They were devastated. A few months later, I saw them again. They were radiating with light. And they told me, Father, this was the biggest challenge of our life. But because of this challenge, because of our son, whose name, by the way, they said, is Christian. his name was Christian. Because of his passing away, the whole family got so much closer to God. Our heart cries on the one hand, but on the other hand, rejoices because we discovered the joy of being with God. And they taught me this in the cemetery, by the tomb of their son. By the grace of God, they became blessed. They raised above the situation, and they understood that through this tragedy, God transformed them and the entire family, and brought the entire family closer to Him. Because until then, they believed in God, but there was no, they didn't have a very active faith. But when their son passed away, They needed something to hang on, because they couldn't live their life without their son anymore. And they needed something to keep them going, and they searched for something that could keep them going, and they discovered the one who keeps everything going and who gave strength to them to overcome this tragedy. Therefore, we are faithful. When God allows a cross in our life, let us put our trust in Him and ask Him to give us strength. And having said all of this, speaking about joy in tribulation, I also have to tell you that sometimes we fall down under the weight of the cross. Nothing wrong about that. Jesus Himself fell under the weight of the cross, and He needed help to carry His cross. And Simon of Cyrene helped Him carry the cross. Sometimes we fall down under the weight of the cross, under the weight of the heavy situation. But when we fall down, and somebody comes and says, "Do you need help? How could I help you?" That Simon of Cyrene, don't refuse his or her help. Say, "Yes, thank you for coming. I do need help. Please help me carry the cross." And carry the cross together with that Simon of Cyrene that God provided for us. So that together, as Paul says in the end of the letter to the Hebrews, together looking to the author of the finisher of the race, and believing, as we said in today's epistle reading, that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. When we fall under the weight of the cross, let us pray to the Lord and ask and tell Him, "Lord, you know how it is to be crucified. You know how it is to be betrayed. You know how it is to suffer as I suffer, because you suffered in your body as I suffer in my body in this life. You also suffered in your life. You can sympathize with me because you suffered with me." Let us pray to Him, and also let us look unto Him. As St. Paul says in the end of the letter to the Hebrews, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." I'm sorry, this is going to be an endurance race, Paul says. It's not a speedy race. It's an endurance race. It's a lifelong race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.